Stagnall, and this is Game Picks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast, where I go head-to-head with my so-called friends from around the NFL to see who can cut it when it comes to deciding winners and losers every week. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and my friends are enjoying trying to knock me off, and they've done it the last couple of weeks. Last week, I went 6-8, and Darren Fletcher went 8-6. So now, after back-to-back losses, I am 107-53-1 on the season. My guests are 102-58-1. Re-entering the arena is former professional cricketer Charles Dagnall, my friend from NFL tailgate parties we've worked together, and of course from Test Match Special on the BBC. And Daggers, I come into this battle not quite a broken man, but somebody who is doubting his ability to pick games. And I'm like a...
Well, considering how smug you were the last time we spoke, then there is a definite air of glumness about your voice. Yeah, absolutely. I can picture you actually just sort of sobbing into your sleeve, actually, whilst the touchdowns and the field goals are being scored over the weekend, going, with Darren Fletcher, it's happening again. It's happening again. And you know how they say things come in threes. How delighted I am to be the third. So Asmir Begovic, Darren Fletcher, and now it's my turn to try and knock you off. Have you noticed there is a distinct happiness to my voice, whereas you are just crushed?
You are like a giant bottle of Lenore.
Thank you.
And our American listeners will have no idea what I'm talking about, probably, but you are full of spring. I'm like a quarterback trying to lead his team back, and you start forcing throws into triple coverage. My equivalent of forcing a throw into triple coverage was picking Atlanta to win in the Superdome last week. So
were you thinking?
I was overthinking. I was thinking, I'll be clever. I'll think my way out of this, whereas earlier in the season, I was just picking the favourites.
Well, from here on in, I'm sure we'll see a much more focused Neil Reynolds. I reckon you've probably prepped, actually, for this particular show more than any other one that you have done. Because
you've got to hold the slide.
One loss is bad enough. Back-to-back losses, and you can see this season, you're going from playoff bye to just scraping in at the wild card. That is where you are as a host and predictor at this moment in time. That's the way I feel about it anyway.
Well, no, and especially because, you know, I beat you the last time we faced off against each other. And all you've done since then is like or retweet anyone who's come close to beating him. I hope you take him down. I hope you beat him. No, and it's like, just concentrate on your game, Daggers.
No, I'm sad and really, really upset when you get anything that's a semblance, because I can see you. I can actually see you going, yep.
It's an annoying face, isn't it?
It was like when Sean Payton retweeted. Did you see that this week?
Yeah.
Sean Payton, was it Roddy White who tweeted saying that the Saints were going to go down? And it was something and nothing, but it was just a little. You can see Sean Payton going, yeah, I'm going to retweet that one. There we go. Let's see how that plays out. And everybody has picked up on it and circled the little section where it says at the top of the tweet, Sean Payton retweeted this. And I just thought, yes, I like that. So, I'm not a good loser. And I take huge amounts of pleasure in seeing you go down.
All right.
Why do you invite me on? Anyway.
I don't know, but it is time for the talking to stop. And, well, actually, for more talking to start when we pick the games. But you know what I mean. Let's get into these picks. Okay, let's get into these picks. First of all, with a bit of playoff news. Shocker, the New York Jets are officially out of the playoff race. Breaking news. And Pittsburgh Steelers can secure their place in the postseason this week with a victory over the Baltimore Ravens. And that's where we'll start, Daggers, with the Big Six. And this is the nightcap game on Thanksgiving. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. And my first thought here is that the NFL clearly just want to get these games played now. COVID be damned, because Baltimore, not quite decimated, but they're going to be without Brandon Williams, their big defensive lineman. Two of their three running backs, and it's a running back by committee, And the NFL just wants to plow ahead. What do you think of that approach?
Do you know what? This was the one game where, considering where we are in the season, I can understand it when you're early on in the season and there is the ability to postpone and, you know, the league hasn't settled as such.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now we're getting to the business end or towards the business end and there are playoff places up for grabs. Now, granted, there is one extra playoff place to be had, and you would probably expect Baltimore to get there whether they win or lose this game. But I think when it comes to having numerous players, bar a quarterback, obviously that is going to make a huge difference to any side that goes up, you know, if you're in COVID regulations. But when you have numerous players in a game of this magnitude within the division, I think this does have to be sort of stepped back. Now, here is your problem if you're the NFL, of course. This has been scheduled for prime time. And it is two of the big sides in the NFL, ones that are going well, albeit Baltimore have had a little bit of a stop-start feeling to their games recently. I don't know where I stand. And I know that's sitting on the fence.
It really is tricky. But it's a $40 million game for the NFL, probably.
Absolutely right. You know, and considering also that the first two games of Thanksgiving are a bit, there's nothing really riding on them to a degree. Granted, anything can happen in the NFCs, but it's not a sexy match.
That's not how I'm going to be selling it. Well, when exactly. You tune in on Sky Sports, tune in.
Tune in for these 3-7 teams to go head to head in a game that's been described
on
this Thursday. I think they will have to go ahead. It is too late in the day now. What you can't do is substitute one game and you know, two teams that were imagining that they had. You couldn't put the Bucks-Chiefs game on. Just because of the scheduling and just because of the primetime nature of it. You know, teams have been preparing. You can't just thust a short week on a pair of teams.
No.
It's going to go ahead. It's bad news for Baltimore. That's just the situation as it stands in the moment. And they've just got to tough it out and suck it up, I'm afraid.
Yeah, just quickly, and then we'll pick this game. We won't get into too much of the detail because we've taken up some time on that there. I think as well, like you said, if you put Kansas City and Tampa Bay suddenly into Thursday night football, you're punishing two teams who may have social distanced in the locker room. I think there's a punitive thing to the NFL here to say, keep your distance, follow our protocols. If you have an outbreak, maybe there is a little bit of that that's on you. I don't think the NFL are going to want to punish other teams. So I'm going to pick Pittsburgh, though, just because of some of the stuff we've mentioned and the Steelers got it all rolling. What about you, Dagger?
Yeah, I am as well. I find it, you know, when you're talking about your running back by committee, that's a lot then on Lamar. I just think that the Steelers are rolling at the moment. I don't think they're going to go undefeated throughout the season.
No.
But at this moment in time, I think you'd be very, very remiss not to pick the Steelers for this one.
All right, next one, Los Angeles Chargers at the Buffalo Bills. And I put this one in here because of the quarterbacks. I just think they are fantastic to watch. And they used to say this, and I wrote this earlier in the week, they used to say that you could hear Dan Marino's passes coming to you before you kind of caught them, you know, and you could literally hear them fizzing through the air. And I think that's going to be the case with Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. I hope the weather in Buffalo plays ball so these guys can air it out. I'm going to take Buffalo, though, but this is going to be exciting.
I'm going to take Buffalo as well. But watching the Chargers, I mean, as bad as the thing, you know, the Tyrod Taylor at the early part of the season, that the doctor injecting him into his lung.
Yep.
I have to say, as a neutral and as a fan of the NFL, you know, the Chargers weren't going to be one of those sides that I looked to think, oh, okay, you know, I'll watch this quite happily because it's the NFL. Now Justin Herbert has shown what he's done. Look, this rookie has got a passer rating of just over 100. Right. You know, he's passed for almost 3,000 yards. His deep ball accuracy is incredible. I love watching them. He's got two great targets in Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. And flip that onto Josh Allen as well. I think his deep ball has got a lot better. He's got a genuine weapon in Stephon Diggs. I think this is a really good matchup to watch. I too have to go with Buffalo. The Chargers aren't quite there yet. They've not learned. the amount of games that have been one-score games in their
even
in
last their week season. Against the Jets, even that one became a one-score at the end.
And that's why you've got to slightly go against them. The Bills are ready to win now. They are winning now. They're at home. I just fancy Buffalo in this one, but I'm really excited to watch the game.
Yeah, would have loved to have seen the miles per hour on Justin Herbert's throw to Keenan Allen for the touchdown. And also, I get a lot of research notes from NFL Network before and after games. There was an entire page dedicated to all the things Justin Herbert is doing as a rookie. And statistically, Daggers, he could go down as the greatest rookie quarterback in NFL history on many levels, which is pretty interesting.
Isn't it so exciting, though, to see a side like that, like the Chargers, who, strictly speaking, don't have a home. You know, when fans come back, you know, the Rams are the team of Los Angeles, you could say. The Chargers still are in that transitional, we're not quite sure what's happening to us. We don't feel necessarily at home in Los Angeles. Now, if you're debating whether you've got a quarterback there for the next decade or so who can really excite, you can sell your franchise on already. And I think that's a big, big coup for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, going to love watching Justin Herbert throwing the ball at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for the next 10 years when they move over. That'd be great. Let's go.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
This is quite a quick turnaround rematch, actually, from just a couple of weeks ago. Tennessee at Indianapolis. I guess the Colts showed us this is a tough one
to
pick.
How good were they?
Right, and the defense. At halftime, I did my link to the break at halftime, and I read out Aaron Rodgers' stats, and I was like, crikey, he can do this again in the second half. He can have six touchdown passes. They just shut him down. Really impressed with the Colts.
Yeah, very much so. Also, massively impressed with Phillip Rivers as well, leading the comeback, because there are times where, you know, Phillip Rivers can get in a little bit isolated from his team. The way that he rallied, the defense obviously helping, but I just thought that was a real statement. There is obviously, he's in a new situation. This is still easy to forget that he was in San Diego, Los Angeles for so long. This is his first year in this situation with Frank Reich at the helm, and I just was really impressed with what Rivers did. You've got Rivers and that defense against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. This is a really interesting matchup. I don't think it's necessarily going to be high scoring. I'm just leaning towards the Titans. The way that they've been able to close out, I think Henry in the fourth quarter is such a devastating weapon to have. And I think he can grind it out. Tannehill's being very solid over the course of the season, you know, following on from what he did last year. I'm just leaning towards the Titans for this particular game.
Me too. I'm going to go Tennessee as well. I think they had some special teams errors the last time these teams met. Interestingly, last week, Ryan Tannehill in the fourth quarter onwards was 10 of 10 as the defense kind of changed its coverage and you know, there was much more effort to stop Derrick Henry. I think that's what Tennessee should be. They should be get the ball into the hands of your big players. Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, we saw that incredible touchdown. So I'm going Titans as well. Let's move on to Arizona at New England. I mean, New England still just about managed to fit into the big six every now and then, only because I'm fascinated to see your take on them. They lost last week to Houston. Are they done? What do you think? Actually, no, I'll tell you, let me have a different question. I think this is interesting. Bill Belichick's talking way more than I've seen in many a recent year, talking about not having many weapons, talking about how he was glad he didn't go to the Jets and he won all these Super Bowls, almost like a career retrospective. Or are they excuses? Is he making excuses?
I think this is the first time that he is making excuses. I really do. Because the decision to bring in Cam Newton, the decision to see Tom Brady depart, I just wonder, we talked about this right from the start, and I think both Brady and Belichick wanted to see what would happen and how they would be judged without one another, because that partnership was such a strong bond over the course of two decades. Now, it's working out pretty well for Tom down in Tampa at the moment, and now Bill Belichick, I think, has to fight a few fires, considering where his side are. What is it, just four wins this year, the loss against Houston. And it's not panning out the way that, of course, he would want. I don't think Cam is panning out the way that he is want. He is not the Cam that we knew down in Carolina. And I think his pass accuracy is now being highlighted because he's not the quarterback, the running quarterback that he was.
Right.
And so I think their excuse is, I don't think we're going to see Belichick retire anytime soon, because if there's one thing we know about people such as him, that he's stubborn and he'll feel that he's the one to turn things around, whoever is under center next year. I think it is. What's your take? Because like I say, it's unusual to see Belichick give anything away.
He never gives. Yeah, I mean, I've interviewed him one-on-one, and it was right at the height of, any high through Tom Brady. I tried to steer him down a line that was Tom Brady's one of the greatest of all time. Even then, I wasn't trying to force him to say he was the greatest of all time. And I even followed up with, he's a great quarterback, isn't he? And both times it was like, well, he's pretty good. We're happy with where we are with Tom. He won't play that game of kind of guessing where a journalist wants you to go, and okay, I'll play along, I'll give you a line, I really love Brady, he's one of the greatest of all time. He doesn't really do that. I've seen him be very careful about his team at Super Bowls. One word answers when it comes to player fitness and health and status. He'll get asked a question about Paul Brown's influence on his career, who obviously was with the Bengals and the Browns. Then he'll talk for the 5 minutes on that. So I'm surprised how open he's been, and I do think it's kind of, this is where we're at, this is all I've got. So I do think whether that's an excuse, I'm in with you. I think that's why I kind of asked the question. I just wanted to see if I was kind of a lone wolf on this one. But
no, I just think that, this is a situation that he's not found himself in. I would argue that they're not going to be a playoff team this year. And if they do, they're doing it by the fingernails. Now, that's not to say that he can't, along with his coaches, coach up a win in the playoffs. But that will be as far as it possibly could get. I don't like them this weekend.
No.
I think Arizona are too sprightly. They've got, I'm still going back on this DeAndre Hopkins trade. I still can't believe that actually happened. But Kyler Murray, absolutely delighted that was made. But I think that Arizona they will have too much for New England. Just to go back quickly to 2 weeks ago when the Patriots got the victory and Cam Newton came out with saying, oh, Bill Belichick, he's the football whisperer. They were full of platitudes for Bill Belichick. That win was against the Jets. That's what they were coming out with when they're beating an 0-9 team at the time. So I don't see anything happening for New England this week, and I can see Arizona going on the road and getting the victory.
Yeah, I think the same. I think New England struggled to contain Deshaun Watson. Here comes another version of that with Kyler Murray. So I'm going Arizona. We're all the same so far. Kansas City at Tampa Bay.
Now, this is where we might change. I got a funny feeling that I know where you're going with this.
All right. So, well, you start then.
Well, I think you're going to go with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And the reason I think you're going is because of the inconsistency of the Bucs. Now, I watched the Bucs in Monday Night Football against the Rams, wanted to throw things at the television. And the reason is the Bucs gave up on the run way, way too early. And then we
saw 42 rushing yards.
Yeah. And I think there was actually something there. Even the 2 yard, 3 yard pickups, if you're making it third down and 4 or 5, then that is something when your weapons are Evans and Godwin and Miller and Brate and Gronkowski and Fournette out the backfield or whoever it might be. I think that plays into the hands of the Bucs so much better than actually 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and or going to fling it downfield to Mike Evans and see if he can come up with a play. Too many 3 and outs.
Yeah,
in my opinion, in this Bruce Arians offense. Okay, Byron Leftwich is calling the plays, but I think we might actually see a little bit more of a difference in the play calling for the Buccaneers this week. It's frustrating how they are, how they have been inconsistent. They went on the road to Carolina and looked really, really good. Got back to that sort of flowing offense. Everything was clicking, especially considering they're off the back of a huge defeat against the Saints. I think defensively, and just looking at the way that, that Kansas City played against Vegas, which was a great game, by the way. I really enjoyed watching that game. You know, Vegas didn't have a defensive front that could really cause any problems for Patrick Mahomes. The Bucs do.
Yep.
And if they can contain him within the pocket, I think they've got the players to do that. Shaq Barrett one side, JPP on the other side. And if they can keep Mahomes in the pocket, he is, I believe, I think that is a better option for the Bucs than letting him roam. When Mahomes roams, buys himself time, then that's when, you know, he's going to find Tyreek Hill. He's going to find Travis Kelce. And I just have a feeling that the Bucs might have the edge over Kansas City, especially in their own house this weekend.
All right. I'll tell you where I would kind of lean towards agreeing. I'm going to pick the Chiefs, but I think another factor could be, you think about how the Chiefs try and attack teams now, and it's a lot of shorter passes, little flips to Tyreek Hill. And I'm thinking of Devin White and Lavonte David and their closing speed, you know, and so that could be a factor in that kind of those tight areas up near the line of scrimmage. You know, the first drive last week, I think Tyreek Hill had 5 catches for 37 yards. Yeah. He's being used like a running back. I'm just gonna back Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady at the moment, because I think Brady's struggling to hit the deep ball. Maybe, like you said, that leads to a change in approach. But you know, just when the Raiders scored on Sunday night with 1:43 left, I mean, I don't think anyone, and this has been said many times this week already, I don't think anyone really doubted that Mahomes could lead them down the field. What struck me was he went 6 of 7 and the touchdown, and he only needed 1 minute and 15 seconds. He's like, you could have 28 of those back.
Absolutely.
I'm not bothered about those other 28 seconds. I've done it. I've done what I needed to. So he's special.
It's an intriguing matchup.
I think it is a good one.
Just watch out for the Chiefs. The Bucs secondary this year is a lot better. Whitehead and Winfield in the safety positions, Carlton Davis in the cornerback position. They will target whoever Jamil Dean is covering. He is absolute pup and cannot cover anybody, gives penalties away left, right and centre. Sean Murphy bunting is okay. But I would just, I think the matchups, just take a look at the matchups, because Kelce will get a bit of a rough ride. As you mentioned, Devin White, Lavonte Davis, Lavonte David, absolutely brilliant, speedy linebackers, read the game so well. I think it's a really interesting matchup this week.
Last one in the Big Six. We'll just go through this relative. Seattle at Philadelphia. I'm going to go Seattle.
Yeah.
And you going the same?
Yeah, I have
Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz might be, I said this on our show on Sunday night on Sky Sports, he might be, he should potentially be heading to the bench now. You know, it's not like this is not a dip. This is week 12 coming up. You are kind of what you are now at this stage. And he's been sacked too many times, 40 times this season. He's turned it over more than any other quarterback. Now, one can lead to the other, definitely on the decision-making. Sacks can be on the quarterback as well. They're not just an offensive line stat. So I'm really worried about where the Eagles go. So I'm picking Seattle for this one.
Yes, I'm picking Seattle as well. But they are so bad, Neil, and they're leading their division. They're 3-6-1 in a table of 3-7 teams.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a change, you know, this is not a bad time to do it. He is not getting the protection, as you mentioned. They just look all at sea. They're a horrible team to watch because there is one or two players that are worth watching. I just can't see him overcoming Seattle. Not at all.
Well, I'm no good at these phrases. So in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Is that right? Is that where
Very
it goes?
Very good. Excellent.
So that's what the Eagles are in the NFC East. Right, let's race through these other ones. 2 minute warning time. Houston at Detroit. So Matthew Stafford's averaged 300 yards every time he's played on Thanksgiving, but I can't trust Detroit. I actually fancy Houston to win this one.
Houston. I think this is the last season for Matt Patricia.
Yep, same here. Washington at Dallas. So that was more like it from Dallas, wasn't it? Three touchdowns, Andy Dalton.
What are the Vikings doing? Anyway, I like Washington in this game. I think their defensive front is... I think, this again, go back to the NFC East, anyone can win it. So now is the time to actually, and in a divisional matchup, I just fancy Washington.
Oh, I like that. I'm going Dallas because I think they protected Andy Dalton a bit more. Miami at the Jets. I think Miami can get back on track. I didn't like the benching of Tua, even though I'm a Fitz guy. Go with your man. Well, yeah, just because I think it just confuses things. I think it's short-term gain for the Dolphins trying to win that game. I think you put him in there. There was some angst about the decision to make that switch. I don't think you pull him out just because he's not playing very well to try and win that game. I think you let him stay in there for the rest of this season. And I say that being the biggest Ryan Fitzpatrick fan there is. I just think it confuses the issue. Your bigger picture for the Dolphins should be about 2021, 2022, not about winning in Denver in week 11.
No, absolutely. And we talked about this when we last spoke on the podcast. And, you know, we both thought it was a bit of a risk or not even the right strategy for the Dolphins to go with Tua at that time. They were looking very sprightly with Fitzpatrick under center. I thought the whole concept of a bit of naughty boy benching doesn't do anything for a rookie quarterback, I don't think.
No.
And it gives them that sense of insecurity where you've got to know that you're the guy. So, I didn't like it at all. You've got to go with Miami, I think. The Jets, I could have gone for the Jets because they've got to win one sometime. And if they are going to win one, a side which doesn't look great or they didn't look great on offense last week, this could be their one. But I've got to go with the odds and pick Miami.
All right, Daggers, you've made this. You can beat me in this podcast if you want. You've just given me a phrase I'm going to be using for years to come. A naughty boy benching. I love it.
Yep. Yes. Well, we used to have naughty boy nets in the cricket. So,
Okay, Carolina at Minnesota. I'm going to go Minnesota at home. What about you?
Yes, I am. And they should want to recover quite in a big way after getting beaten by Dallas. They shouldn't have lost that game.
Cleveland at Jacksonville. Baker Mayfield hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in three games, but he's got the guys on the ground doing the job. So I'm going Cleveland.
I'm going Cleveland. Jake Luton isn't the answer for me.
No. The New York Giants at Cincinnati Bengals. So I think Giants have been a bit feisty. And now we've got Ryan Finley at quarterback for the Bengals. This is a good break for the Giants. I'm going to go the Giants to keep it going and to stay in contention.
Yes, I am as well. They've got a bit of... Yeah, they've had a bye week, haven't they? And they've managed to just gather themselves. And again, it's that NFC East who wants it least, it would seem. With no Joe Burrow, what a horrible injury that was.
It's
devastating to see his season get done. I'm actually with you. I had the Giants. I wondered which way you'd go. But yeah, I'm going Giants on that one.
All right. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Atlanta Falcons. So this is difficult because I think the Falcons are tough to judge when they're at home. But the Raiders are the better team. They are the team with more to play for. I'm going Las Vegas. I'm not overthinking it this week. What about you?
No, I'm not either. But I just wanted to mention about Derek Carr and some of his passes against Kansas City last week were things of beauty, and it didn't get his touch on the passes. I think he is throwing the ball as well as he ever has.
Yeah, I agree.
And if it wasn't for, you know, they do need some penetration on the defensive front, but I think they look a good, organized offense. He drives them well. They mix up their play calling. I actually think they're a really good side to watch. And I'm going Vegas as well. And I think there's another playoff bound team.
The 49ers at the Rams. So I'm really impressed with the Rams. So they've been much about the run all year. They come up against the Bucs, who, of course, are very strong against the run.
No one can run against them.
Right. So then Jared Goff throws 51 times. And Sean McVay is now 32-0 when leading at halftime. So I think that's a great stat if you want to have trust in your coach. They're going to beat San Francisco. I'm going Rams.
Yeah, I'm going Rams, and no one's talking about them.
No, they're not, are they? That's very, very true. New Orleans at Denver. So I think the defense is a big thing, not just Taysom Hill. Daggers, they're 6-0 now without Drew Brees back to the start of last season. This is a complete team, isn't it?
Does this not tell you how good Sean Payton and that coaching staff are? And I loved the quote this week saying, or it was actually the commentary team who were covering the Saints game. I can't remember who it was at the time. But they said, if they are in-game, because of what Taysom Hill does to them, or does for that offense, they can't use him necessarily. He's a third stringer if Drew Brees is fit. So Winston would come in as the backup in game. When they've got a week to prepare, then Taysom Hill can start at quarterback because they can prepare him like a quarterback. But he's either playing at running back or tight end or wide out. So, if Breeze got injured in game. And I thought that was very interesting to me. I thought he led them well. They didn't ask him to do anything too huge, but he's also got his legs as well. I actually think this is where I think this is a trap game for the Saints. I really do. And I'm actually going to go Denver.
You love it. I've won. Sorry, I didn't say that out loud, did I?
Were you smug again then for just a moment?
I was just looking. Actually, I swear, as you were saying that, I was looking at I was highlighting the differences so far, and there were only two. And I was like, well, I can see that Bucks Chiefs game going either way, and Dallas Washington. We could be heading towards a tie this week. Even my dog's laughing. My dog is having a dream in the background chasing rabbits. Can you hear that?
I can hear that. Yes, indeed.
That's the dog laughing.
I think you'll find what he's doing is, in the dog world, that's an agreement with me. Look, they're at Mile High. I think that they've got to obviously use their running backs a little bit more and ask Drew Locke not to throw it to the other team, which he will do in the first quarter. I've got to say, New Orleans' defense is looking really, really good at the moment as well.
Yep, but too late.
I just fancy Denver this week.
I like it.
If Denver win, I'm going to give you so much grief, even if I lose the whole thing.
No, it's impressive because I've disrespected you. My dog's laughed at you in her sleep. And absolutely. You deserve better. Last one, Chicago at Green Bay. Bears all sorts of problems. No answer at quarterback. Both going Green Bay there?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So here are the differences. I've gone Kansas City. You've gone Tampa Bay. We've got one to look forward to on Thanksgiving Day now because I've gone Dallas. You've gone Washington. And then I've gone New Orleans and you've gone Denver. Let battle commence.
Let it commence. Looking forward to it.
All right, just to wrap up on game picks, of course, it's a big week in the NFL. It's Thanksgiving Day games as well. It's a big kind of watch-a-thon in the US. And normally, Daggers, we have the gigantic turkey in the studio. So I'm set. I'm happy. I don't really care what other people are eating. They send in all their pictures. I'm not bothered. I've got my dinner. Not this year. This year, with COVID and everything, we can't have that. So I'll just have a little bagged packed lunch from Sky, little sandwich, little bag of crisps. So I'm now suddenly way more interested in how people watch our games. What do you do on Sundays? Do you have do you get yourself set and watch, get your dinner and watch while you're eating and have, I'm just fascinated to see how people kind of watch us.
Well, usually I have my daughter over on a Sunday and Monday, and she knows the form. Okay. In fact, everybody in the house knows the form that anything we do, and it ends at 5:55. It ends at 5:55. So if she's got homework to do, if she's got, games that she wants to play, if my partner wants to go and do anything, go for a bike ride or a walk or anything like that, it's all done by 5:55. Then the corner of the big green sofa is mine. That is it. Do what you want to do. If she wants to go up to her room and watch, telly or go on YouTube, that is absolutely fine. She can literally do what she likes for 2 hours. She could be, she could be coming up with the vaccine to COVID up there, and I won't know about it. Similarly, I think my partner, Annie, I think she sort of bears it and sort of encourages me to watch it, but I don't know how much I actually take into that, But basically, that's it. The corner of the sofa, and it's you guys on one screen and Red Zone on the other. So I'm getting it all the information I can. I always like to eat beforehand as well. I don't like to be fidgeting and, I don't like anything else to be going on at that moment in time.
Fantastic.
I like to be still. I like to, absorb all the information given to us by presenters and commentators and all of that sort of stuff. And that's the way I like to do it. And I don't like to move unless I have to either get another can of fizzy drink or need the loo. Otherwise, I am set for the evening. That is me done.
Fantastic. I am, while I'm in studio, I'll have my lunch at home before I go in, because obviously this year it's a bit more, well, actually for the last few years, because I'm so across red zone and stuff that I haven't really got time to get tucked into hot food while everything's going on. So I'll have my lunch at home, and then they'll bring round a bagged lunch, which I actually tend to eat on average at about 1 a.m. because I'll have maybe like an apple or a banana and a bag of crisps while we're actually on air. But most of the time, because someone's talking to me all the time, touchdown in Miami, touchdown in New York,
yeah,
and I'm writing it all down. I don't eat until I drive home. And actually, it's quite good because it keeps me awake on the drive home. So that's my my plan.
From your perspective, when you're doing the program for Sky Sports, when I'm doing the Sky Sports commentary, I'm going to be a bit smug now here, because we work in shifts in sort of, we commentate for 7 overs and then, yes, we have 14 overs rest. And oh, look at that. There's the hot food cart. What's on the menu today? Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Yes, and we can then take it up to our little sort of green room area and chill out and just watch the cricket whilst we're tucking into our hot food. No, none of this bagged lunch type of malarkey. Oh, I tell you, when we're in the summertime and we're doing the Sky Sports commentary, we do get taken care of pretty well. So even if Denver do go down this weekend against New Orleans and you're all smug, come next summer, while I'm eating my lovely prepared hot food that is given to us from the Sky Sports truck, then I will be smug myself, knowing,
fantastic,
that you just have to have it out of a paper bag.
I'm gonna insist that Sean Gale and Vince Young start doing red zone updates so I can have every third update off. There was one a couple of weeks ago where obviously bathroom breaks are quite limited on a busy Sunday as well.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm running to the bathroom. And so then Sean Gale went, if Neil goes, then we all go, because there's no filling in the studio. So Sean Gale runs out as well. And then suddenly the feed dropped down and poor old Rob Ryan was sat there on his own. And apparently they put up the scores and Rob just went, there are the scores. And they didn't say another word. didn't even attempt to fill the 30 seconds. Just went, there are the scores.
Oh, brilliant. I'll tell you what, obviously, Sean has been brilliant, and your partnership with Sean over numerous years has been fantastic. How great is Vince?
Yeah,
is Vince Young?
So
what
cool.
A dude he is. What
he is,
an addition to the program.
He is a great guy. Right, so we're done. Just look, a couple of little messages. Before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're the @TheNRPodcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can track our picks and scores. You can send in your picks using the hashtag GamePicks. Also, if you listen to GamePicks on the Neil Reynolds podcast feed, please head over to the main GamePicks feed and subscribe there as well, wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to help as we build our audience. Daggers, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us again. We could probably squeeze in one more before the end of the season as well, can't we?
I reckon we can, and especially when you go for 3 losses in a row. Goodness me, social media will be awash of pictures that I'm going to Photoshop of you.
Fantastic. So there is Charles
great
Dagnall.
Fun.
It was great. It really was good fun, and the games will be good this week. Enjoy week 12 in the NFL, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.